Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Should we start again with all that crap about my health?
That was just a throat clear.
Anyway. I was going to start with something different.
We'll start with something different then.
I was just going to start with, morning, Esther.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm all right.
That's not very good.
No, I'm.
How are you, Esther?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
A lot of weather we've been having.
Yes.
Haven't we?
Yes. Weather.
Yeah, that's a nice jumper.
Thank you very much. Oh, I know what you're doing.
Yeah, you fuck. You can. Yes.
You're making small
talk. Read the headline.
You are making small talk. Universities teach art of idle chit-chat.
I mean, we talked about how that was going to be the first thing we did on the podcast.
Yeah, but it just went in one ear and out the other.
Because you're shit at it.
Shit at small talk?
Yeah.
I'm actually very, very good at small talk.
I thought it was a great thing to talk about because this is a podcast in which people listen to us.
What is more idle chit-chat than a podcast?
Students desperately need advice on how to make chit-chat. All over America, university professors are helping a generation that yawn came of age during the pandemic. We're going to be reading that sentence for a long time. Studying remotely, and they're having to learn the art of small talk. There is no doubt that COVID had a significant impact on students' ability in face-to-face communication, said David Salisbury, an assistant professor of geography, environment and sustainability. Oh, at the University of Richmond, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I also think the increasing involvement with small screens is impacting social skills. A handbook offering students guidance on how to conduct themselves at networking events tells them to begin with, "Hello, my name is..." First and last name. You could just imagine these kids going, "Hello, my name is first and last name." It then says, "Stop, let them tell you their name before they move on to describe themselves. Stop," the handbook warns over this. "Give them an opportunity to respond." So basically, they're trying to write covering letters, they're trying to have communications, they've forgotten how to speak, and they're being taught. And I just think this is to do with kids today not knowing how to talk to each other. It ties in for me to that story that I was in the papers on Sunday or Monday, and I wrote about it briefly in the diary, my notebook, I mean, about Debrett's offering phone etiquette advice, saying young people don't like to be phoned, they like to get a message in advance asking for permission to phone them because they can't bear a conversation starting too quickly.
Mm-hmm. It's all a bit triggering.
Well, it ties into that thing, and then when you message them, you have to use an exclamation mark, because if you say hello exclamation mark, they go, "Ah, lovely, hello," but if you put hello full stop, it's passag. So we know that. So it's about kids losing the ability to...
I think the pandemic is overblamed for this, actually. I think that it was inevitable due to just being online more. It's pandemic, not pandemic, doesn't make any difference. I think this is totally inevitable. This feels like this piece about universities teach the art of idle chit-chat feels like the kind of spoof newspaper thing you might get in a book from 1972 about the future world or something by some very sort of prescient, like, sci-fi writer.
In the future,
writer.
People will forget how to talk.
Exactly, because they will be, yeah.
No, it seems to be, I don't know, I think it's of a piece with some other stories that are around at the moment about it's young people failing to do things, and I think it's failing to be able to communicate certain kinds of ideas and being afraid of, you know, the whole trigger warning thing on campus. What are you allowed to say? What are you not allowed to say? They now don't even know how to say nothing, or they are afraid to say nothing. I think it is to do with technology, but I think it's been exacerbated, like all those things, by the
pandemics. I think that's boring. We know, don't we, and this is the point we want to get to, about how do you avoid this? How do you teach your children to have this? They're skills our children have. Why? Our children can do small talk. Why? I think...
Because they are our only friends, and they are the only people that we speak to, so we force them to talk to us all the time.
Yes. The only people we talk to, apart from each other on this podcast in a performative way, for a salary, are our children.
Yes, yes, yes. I think the thing about small talk and the thing about that kind of idle chit-chat that they're talking about, it is a skill, and it is a skill that can definitely be learnt. And when I am out of practice at small talk, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to go to parties. I don't want to see anyone because I know that I've forgotten and I can't do it.
No. So these kids that we're talking about who are having to be taught how to talk, the thing is, the little person in our life who's on the autistic spectrum and went weekly to these sort of group therapy classes to learn the art of conversation.
Yeah.
And... at first, I thought this sounded like a weird sort of a thing to be doing. Mm. And she was taught, you know, how to recognise conversational triggers, which was things like, not if you say to someone who's on the spectrum, if you say to them, depending on where they are on the spectrum, but you say, how are you? They'll go, I'm fine. And you go, what have you been watching on telly? And they'll go, The Simpsons. And it'll stop. They won't go, The Simpsons, my favourite character is Marge. It's so funny. Do you see that bit where... Da, 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 da,
I mean, it really depends. It really depends, but yes. But what they... but what?
So she got taught.
So what the conversation classes were to say, and how about you?
Yeah.
That's what...
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Oh, I should go on some of these
you
classes.
You should. Yes, they were very good. Well, I hear they were very good. But yes, the whole point was that... it's not just about... it was about... the whole thing is about a back and forth, which is a thing that people on the spectrum, who I sometimes think includes both you and me, find tricky to do.
I was thinking to myself, can they teach the kid on the spectrum to ask how someone is and give a shit about the response?
No.
No! And I... assuming I'm not on the spectrum, and I'm not, I do not give a shit what they think. And you're not supposed to. And the notion of small talk and polite chit-chat, polite conversation, the old rules, the Lady Grantham rules, where you don't talk about religion, sex, politics, or work, in order to not have controversy in your conversation, you just... not whether we've been having... one of the things that she had to learn, our little autistic friend, from was it's not necessarily going to be framed as a question. So it'd be like, God, it's cold.
Oh, yes.
To which she would... that's the end of the conversation with her. Well, that they think it's cold. I know what I think. Fuck you. So she had to go, yes, it is. It is, but at least it's sunny. And that's how... and then these are things which to some degree, we can laugh at it, but society does have to teach you to do.
So metabolising this into a column would be, this is how...
good use of metabolise.
Thank you.
Have said metastasise, depending on how they think of my columns.
No, your columns go online and then they metastasise.
Yeah.
It's beyond your control. How would you... because it's a great and wonderful and a rich area of... it's a great topic.
Yeah.
What would it be? My
lessons,
rules.
How to do it. My rules. And obviously with my crippling, bordering on the ill desire to amuse, I would have to move away quickly from real advice. And you'd want to talk about real advice. I was thinking... one of the other things I was thinking around this is a school for small talk. Sounds like a Restoration comedy.
Yes,
William Congreve, the school for small talk.
I think one of the reasons why small talk rules were no politics, no racy chat, so that people don't disagree. I think that's one of the things that really needs to be brought back, because I do think that one of the reasons why young people find it difficult to say what they think out loud is because they have grown up in a world where that can get you in a lot of trouble online.
Well, it's a point I've often made
about,
because I'm a massive bore, usually in the small talk phase, that the rules of etiquette and politeness that used to exist in conversation at every social level, really, and phased away with the sort of free thinking of the 60s, 70s, 80s, that went away, got us to a position where now you've got all this problem with safe spaces and trigger warnings, because people say... and really, all those things are, although they seem to come from the intellectual left, All they are is a replacement for the old rules of etiquette.
The thing I thought, my immediate thought for your column was not a school of chit-chat, but, I mean, obviously not a sense, not actual rules for how to make conversation, but kind of rules, sort of satirical rules to make conversation where every rule ends up with how you make it so that you can talk the most.
No, I thought you were going to go a different way, where every conversation gets closed down with chit-chat. So that you have a... Sorry, I shouldn't tread on your...
No, what? I've made my point.
This idea is evolving as we speak in
the way... Yes, exactly. It is metastasizing.
Imagine, because like Gaza, I've just done Times Radio this morning, it's fine. Ping comes my thing from lovely Molly Guinness. First of all, we'll talk about the deal, the Hamas Israeli government deal to release some hostages. Is this giving into Hamas? And I've just woken up.
Yeah.
Fuck. You're asking me, is this deal to release hostages giving in to a terrorist organisation?
Somebody thinks no.
I would like, my reply would have been, yes, it has been rather rainy, but you know, at least it's you can light a fire and have a nice time indoors.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Conversations where is a conversation going, all right, Giles, what do you feel about these? My daughter's just started at the local school, and they're giving her permission to transition across the genders without consulting me. And I would go, oh, she's on toast without a question. It would be the...
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, really good. And it means that you can address all sorts of super, super, super controversial things and then explain why you're not going to talk about any of them. It's really good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Giles, can you... I think before we start, Giles, we're going to need a definition of genocide. Oh, walking a dog on a frosty morning while listening to Radio 4. That's my go-to thing.
My bucket list.
You want to know about my bucket list? Well, I very much hope to visit Bali.
Yeah. Okay, so we move on. That's very good. Those are two really good options. Oh, I just
two?
Can't...
Isn't it one?
No, well, you could either do it the way that I said or the way that you said. Okie dokie. You had loads of really good stuff. What was your next thing?
Well, I was going to point out that we are recording this just ahead of the autumn statement.
Oh, yeah. And I said, can you explain it to me because it's passed me by.
The autumn totally. Statement? Do you mean when the Chancellor Checker stands up and says, the leaves are falling now? We can officially light fires and start eating cinnamon.
Those of you who want to drink a pumpkin spice latte, you can go now.
The autumn statement, the Chancellor makes two statements, the spring statement and the autumn statement.
Right.
And I think the spring...
But it's not the budget.
No, the budget is in April, isn't it? The beginning of April. So I think the spring statement comes ahead of the budget. No,
okay.
The autumn statement is a sort of...
What we're up to.
Yeah, it's what we're up to, what we're going to do, the change we're going to make. It's very important now because this is the last one before there'll be a general election. They need to steer a bit of a... some sort of course which is going to... And as ever with the Tories, they have to persuade their grassroots and their backbenchers that they are a party of tax cuts. But tax cutting hasn't been possible because there hasn't been any money. Mm. Inflation was, in fact, halved. So that was a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and not really from anything that Rishi Sunak did, but it was.
No.
So they've got a bit more headroom in terms of budget. So the backbench Tories want them to cut it in tax to try and get back some of the red wall voters. Now they're planning to cut national insurance.
Yeah, so they're going to cut national insurance, but isn't national insurance like your contribution to your state pension?
Yeah, national insurance. Taxes pay for running the country, in theory, and national insurance pays for benefits. And
oh, is that how it works?
Yeah, and most people pay class one national insurance. I think it's 10%, comes out of there. It's taken at source.
PAYE, right?
So it's taken at source. Yeah. We make voluntary contributions, or don't.
Yeah.
No, we do. Because we make class four. Or is it class two? Class four national insurance contributions, and I make them as part of my annual... tax return, because you have to keep up the payments to entitle yourself to a state pension, which at the moment I think is £4 a month. But it's still very important that I get it at the end of the day, because if all my other tax planning goes to absolute shit, we can actually live...
On £4 a month?
On rice. No. But it's not a lot. It's like £160 a week, is it? Is it a month? Is it? Do you have any idea?
It's not a month. It must be a
month. No, it's fuck all. It's fucking fuck all.
Is it?
It's absolutely terrifying. But... It just about will keep your old people alive. I'm sort of hoping it's about 100 odd quid. The current new amount, no, it's £203 a week. It's a fortune. I was only out by about £200.
But that is assuming that you are living rent free somewhere. that you have paid, you know, paid the mortgage on your house, or you're living rent free somewhere. You have
other, because it's protected by the triple lock.
And you have other savings, and you don't have.
At any rate, that's what you get if you pay. So this current autumn statement. Now, the best we can really hope
good.
For.
So they've cut national insurance contributions, but you still get the same amount of when you turn 65
because of the triple lock. Yeah, fine. It's really great for people who are very old now.
Terrific.
Young people are going to be absolutely screwed, but that doesn't matter.
And you want to write about this in your...
No, I'm merely acknowledging in the podcast that we've said this before the autumn statement. He might say that he is slashing the top rate of income tax to 25%, abolishing corporation tax altogether, removing a stamp duty on second homes, and abolishing inheritance tax. And then in that case, you won't be hearing from us next week because we'll be in the fucking Bahamas.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What's next?
I was on a roll about problems with parenting.
So
there's the small talk thing. Eating disorders are now running at 20%. Or is it 20% of girls? What's the statistic? It's 1 in 5 older teenage girls have an eating disorder, according to the NHS. Figures described as devastating. And so I thought that was one. And then there's the government trans rules were published yesterday.
Yes,
they didn't go far enough for the transphobes, but they went too far for the trans lobby.
Right.
Which I suppose means they must have got it broadly right.
I wonder if they are transphobes, though. I wonder.
Yeah, the ones
who take it too far.
The ones who say that children shouldn't be allowed to socially transition at all, whatever anybody says, including their parents.
Right.
They're probably transphobes. They probably think trans people are either shit or don't exist.
Yeah.
Two positions which I don't hold.
Yeah.
So therefore I find myself to the left of them and in the centre, but far to the right of the people who think that children should be allowed to cut off their own ghoulies with scissors from the age of 4 if they feel a little bit unhappy at school. You know, somewhere in between lies the route, and the government has chosen to say the antis really wanted them to say that kids can't change their uniforms, that kids can't. But there's a sort of. But then Sarah Dighton, who I was on the radio with this morning, will be of a school that says, if you allow kids to come to school when they were previously called John and say they're called Mary, if grown-ups indulge them in that, you're encouraging the kids in a mindset that there was something wrong with who they were, and to therefore develop and take whatever issues they're dealing with at this vulnerable stage in the direction of trans when there are other ways they could have gone.
Yeah.
Which might well have been into eating disorders if you go with Hadley Freeman's version of child mental health in her book. So there, it seemed to me that there were things to talk about with parenting. I thought one of the things we could do when we talk about eating disorders is no one really understands it. No one really knows what it means. I do know that whenever I write a piece about obesity, even if I'm sensitive about it, but I'm often not sensitive about it, if I say anything about it, it's an issue that has to be tackled, I get pushback, mostly on Twitter, some under the line, some in email. You're creating kids with eating disorders.
Hadley Freeman, who is basically an expert on eating disorders, she's seen it from the inside, and she's very thoughtful and extremely brilliant and thinks very carefully about the subject. She would laugh in your face if, and she has laughed in my face if I ever posit that it's pictures of, you know, super thin models or whatever. And she's, you know, young girls don't become anorexic because they saw a picture of Kate Moss and they were sad, she would say. And it's in girls with anorexia, what they are trying to do is make their outsides match how unhappy they are on the inside. So rather than saying, I am so unhappy, they want to show you that they are so unhappy. And she's saying, girls with anorexia do not want to be slim. They do not want to look thin. They want to look ill. And that is a very specific qualification.
And she, I believe, will extrapolate from that, and I believe the book does, and she's obviously a gender-critical feminist and a spokesperson for women's rights, and right to private to women's spaces and all this kind of thing. And more I feel this should be a podcast where Hadley should be sitting there, considering she's doing fuck all, I imagine, on a Wednesday morning, and I see her on the school run. Quite why she isn't here doing an even better impression of her voice, I don't know. But she would also say that there's something similar with trans. That's why I see them together. You're not really saying I'm a boy. You're saying something is terribly wrong in my life, and I want you to talk to me about it.
In the old days, I was at school with a girl called Jo, and her mother ran one of the first clinics in the UK that was called Home Farm or something, and it was a residential clinic for anorexic girls. And her theory was very much along with yours, because we were still living in the shadow of people brought up during the war and finished everything on your plate and children are starving in Africa and whatever. Mm-hmm. She was very much thought that anorexia was due to conflict at the dinner table and that kind of thing. So that's, and she came to lecture us all the time about anorexia and about how it's okay to eat a Mars bar and it's not going to make you fat. And obviously that's where the thinking was in the late 80s and the early 90s. I think now we understand that Hadley, you know, Hadley's really got a point. It's really not about the food.
Yeah.
It's about something else entirely.
And that's possibly your dichotomy between disordered eating.
Yeah, oh, very much. Oh, disordered. Yeah, disordered eating is everywhere, and it can be hugely damaging and upset people. And it's, you know, relationship with food is it's very complicated, but it's not an eating disorder. You have a disordered relationship with food, but you do not have an eating disorder.
No, I have a disordered relationship with everything.
You do.
Sex,
you do.
Work, sleep. Not sleep. Sleep is all right. Driving, alcohol.
Yep.
Anyway, before we go on.
Yeah, I'm listening.
I'm going to show you a picture and I want you to tell me what you see.
It's a giant red octopus.
And that's all you see? Okay, fine. What do you see there? Let the record show that I'm presenting to Esther a photograph from this week's University Challenge.
And there's a grey octopus little softy toy on the bench. What have these octopuses got to do with each other?
And just one other photograph I'm going to show you. What do you see there?
A squid is not an octopus.
We're fine.
Okay, you're showing me the allegedly anti-Semitic cartoon of Richard
Sharp
by Martin Rosen in The Guardian that got him into so much trouble, and he's holding a box full of a squid because
it's some sort of metaphor for the Jews. Okay,
yeah.
Interesting. Look, so when I saw that picture of a totally harmless, massive red soft octopus, I thought it was about an anti-Semitic attack. Okay, and it turns out to not be. The photograph that I showed you of the New Zealand Challenge this week, the BBC has had to disclaim any anti-Semitic content because it went tonto on social media, saying that this blue/green octopus was an anti-Semitic trope brought on by the Muslim student here. They said she's wearing PLO colours, Palestine colours, green, red, white, subtly wearing them. She wasn't wearing these in the first round. And I thought, what? Same as you, I knew about the squid, and I only knew about the squid, and I'm a Jew and I'm sensitive to anti-Semitism. I only knew about the squid because of the Rosen cartoon controversy. Apparently it's an octopus, and they're now saying it's an octopus, and that Nazi cartoons in the 1930s showed an octopus with its tentacles in every country straddling the world. And they were saying that this Muslim student, and with the complicity of these other Christchurch people, had brought on this octopus.
Right.
In order to make an anti-Semitic statement. Right. Then everyone went, yes, 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 but it was recorded in March. It wasn't about now. Then they go, yes, but there was anti-Semitism then. The BBC have now come on and pointed out that this girl's wearing, like, it's from Zara.
Yeah.
And it has,
And it's brown and white and black.
It's not really very PLO. And it's just, it was literally how fucked up we're all getting now with this war.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I thought that it might be nice for Neil to call this podcast, mm-hmm. When is an octopus not an octopus? Because having never known that any kind of cephalopod with eight legs was anything to do with anti-Semitic imagery, and I'm quite sensitive. First of all, my friend Roston, they said it's an anti-Semitic cartoon, and he said, I didn't know a squid was anti-Semitic. And they all went, fuck off, Martin, but I didn't. Then they had this story, and I saw this girl, and I was persuaded she was an anti-Semite, because it said so on social media, and that this cuddly octopus was part of the whole octopus squid Jews are evil thing. And I was so indoctrinated by it that by this morning, I thought a story about a lost octopus toy was a story about anti-Semitism.
Well, now imagine that you're on Twitter and you're 16 and you're a bit thick. Imagine how susceptible you would be to this shit then.
Yeah.
This is why I'm not on social media. Ballet.
Yes.
Oh, no, we're not going to see that. We're going to see Dante's Inferno.
And we're fucking looking forward to it.
I am excited.
Okay, so look. I may, after tonight, have something to write on Saturday about the ballet. I'm 54. I've never been to the ballet. There's a history with us where you like the ballet.
I love the ballet.
We had tickets to go and see
Swan Lake. On my birthday.
On your birthday.
In 2020.
And then it was cancelled because of COVID.
And just let the record show, we donated the price of the tickets.
Did we?
Yes, we let them keep the tickets. I did not get a refund. So all the little ballet leaders could eat week.
No, it's like COVID. I mean, I know it was terrible for some people. When they say, how did the COVID tragedy affect you? I go, well, we missed Swan Lake. Anyway.
I hate you. How can you not like the ballet? You're such a Philistine.
I hadn't really ever been to the ballet and was never that interested. I don't know that much about music. I've never been to an opera. It's a long thing to sit through. But I knew you wanted to go to the ballet. And then I met this wonderful fellow and I was having dinner with him and he said, oh, anytime you want to go to the ballet, come to the ballet. And he said, we've got this amazing thing, the Dante Project. And it's coming back it's been on somewhere else a couple of years ago and it's a massive rave and it's on tonight and we're going. And first of all, it said 2 hours, 45 minutes. And I thought, worst nightmare. And then it said 45 minutes, then a half hour booze and eating break.
Then you eat.
Then 25 minutes.
25.
Then another food
more
and drink.
More food.
And then another dancing.
And then pudding.
We're going out for a fucking dinner and booze up.
Yeah.
With some people dancing briefly in between.
It's so good. The ballet is so civilised and that's why people love it. And that is also why it's so expensive. It's a long bit, food, a short bit, more food, another short bit, more food, go home.
That sounds like a great column, doesn't it? That was brilliant. All I can think about, and I'm going to be sitting there at the Royal Opera House wearing white tie with a revolving bow tie on.
Top hat.
And a top hat on. Being dressed as Ken Dodd,
yeah.
And I'll be watching it, and I'm so excited. I'm going to write this column. I want it to be so great that I can write a column about how ballet changed my life.
Yeah.
And I wonder what I'm going to do with the second half of my life between now and 108. I'm going to spend it watching ballet.
You'd make a fantastic ballet dancer, actually, because you've got those big thighs and all very strong.
Massive nuts that I can put into my thing, which reminds me that that my closest I come to seeing an opera is that Foster's ad from the 80s.
Yeah.
When Paul Hogan is there and he's at the opera.
Yeah.
And he takes off his hat and puts it in front of... And next to him is some hottie looking through her lorgnette. And Hogan, the male dancer, comes on and Hogan shouts, Struth, there's a bloke down here with nice strides on. And he puts his hat over the woman's eyes.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, I love those Foster's adverts. They were so good.
So my whole plan is to wait until... There's some guy who's like the big dancer, the Royal Ballet guy. And I'm going to go, Struth, there's a black man here with nice strides on.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
To find out what I wrote about in the end, pick up a copy of the paper or treat yourselves to a digital subscription.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.